kind of like that jazzy tune. I like that. We need to do that at my church. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as thy word is read and proclaimed, help us to open our hearts and minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. Amen. We're going to skip the 23rd Psalm for just a minute. Be calm. We're going to get to it, but we're going to do it in a little bit of a reverse order. So our first scripture reading comes to us from John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Please listen to and for the word of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who has faith in him may not die, but have eternal life. He was not sent to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Those who put their faith in him do not come under judgment, but the unbeliever has already been judged in that he has not given his intelligence and allegiance to God's only Son. Here lies the test. The light has come into the world, but men prefer darkness to light because their deeds were evil. Bad men all hate the light and avoid it for fear that their practices should be shown up. The honest man comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that God is in all that he does. Good morning. I'm Scott Miller. I'm privileged to be here. I wish it was under different circumstances, which you all clearly understand. Do y'all like to go camping? Sure. A lot of folks do. Now, isn't there this thing now, it's called glamping? Is that a thing? I think I've heard of that, where you rent a cabin at that same stream or lake that you used to sleep in a tent in, but now you are there in a cabin, and that's okay. I guess that's considered camping. Do y'all like to go fishing? Mm-hmm. Sure, a lot of folks do. Quiet stream, pond, lake, just to be tranquil. Now, how many of y'all like to do whitewater rafting? Okay, I see some hands out there. All right, now help me understand. There are different categories, right, of the level. Is it ones through five? Is that the highest one? Dan's back there shaking his head. Those are the bone jarring, you know, you get thrown all around the raft kind of thing. Okay, well, what I want you to do is forget about your whitewater rafting experiences for just about 15 or 20 minutes, if you don't mind. And think about those tranquil times that you've had to go camping. The other thing I'd like you to do this morning, and when I read the 23rd Psalm, and particularly those of you listening on the radio as well, in your quiet place, wherever that may be, I would ask you to close your eyes while I read the psalm, and I want you to think about perhaps someone that you know who has died recently. We think particularly about Lib Morgan, my friend Will Falk, who passed away. But we also think about the person who was driving the flag car that was killed Thursday in the wreck on 74. So I want you to think about those, picture them in this scene while I read the 23rd Psalm. So please, close your eyes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want for anything. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the waters of peace. He renews life within me, and his name's sake guides me in right paths. Even though I walk through a valley dark as death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy staff and thy crook are my comfort. Thou preparest a table for me in the sight of my enemies. Thou hast richly bathed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Goodness, love, and mercy, unfailing, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. This is the psalm that David wrote. And David is someone with whom most of us can associate. When we look at his life, he knew what it was like to be a lonely servant as he served the shepherd as a shepherd of actual sheep. He knew what it was like to be on the top of the social ladder. There he was, the king and the shepherd of thousands of Israelites. He knew what life was all about, having been committed murder and adultery. He was a brilliant fighter and an excellent musician. Maybe that's why most of us know the story of David so well, because we can all associate with him in some way or another. He was a man who had a vast array of experiences. Seems to me that this story of the 23rd Psalm should be enough to pique our interest, knowing that this is the Word of God. So, in God's mercy, he tells us that the psalm was inspired through David. When we see that David wrote this psalm through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, our sinful ears perk up to what is being said. When he said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. It seems to be a peaceful experience. David, the shepherd of sheep, said that the Lord, and if you read the 23rd Psalm, you will see that the word Lord, or Yahweh in Hebrew, L-O-R-D, is capitalized. And what that means is that is forever, for eternity. And that's how he refers to his Lord and his shepherd. Unending, unbroken, ceaseless God. The one who had consistently been given there for the Israelites. The one who mercifully saved them from their slavery of the Egyptians. He is the one who led them through the desert and brought them to the promised land. Jesus identifies himself to be that shepherd. And David knew that this Lord was his shepherd. And we should accept him as our shepherd as well. And this is amazing because other scriptures refer to God as our rock, our redeemer, our fortress. And what that statement means is that we can find shelter behind that rock. And he provides a fortress for us from our enemies. But when David says the Lord is his shepherd, what he is saying is that our Lord is a living and wonderful personal God, the one who cares about us. He carries us in his arms, searches for us when we were lost. He takes personal interest in us and in the things that we do. Someday, somebody might ask, well, how does the shepherd provide for us? Notice that he lets us lie down in green pastures and then leads us beside the quiet waters. Now, for the natural sheep, nothing could be better than when the shepherd feeds them in the pleasant green grass and the clean, fresh, clear water. Notice what our shepherd allows us to do. Not only does he allow us to graze in the green pastures, but he also allows us to doze there, to lie down there in safety and serenity. What these green pastures are symbolic of, it can be nothing other than the Word of God. As in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says, as newborn babies desires pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted them, the Lord's gracious, good, kind, compassionate. Hearing these words of God is like eating a great meal. The first time it gets between your teeth and your mouth wants more. You can't wait to chew on it, swallow it, and get some more. After you have eaten that meal, you want more and more. And that's the way it is with the Word of God. Once you have tasted it, the more you will desire it. Now, I understand a little bit better Psalm 34, verse 8, when it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who trust and obey. So back to the 23rd Psalm. In verse 3, it says, He restoreth my soul. When we have been through bad times, we're feeling down, our souls have been troubled, we don't have to worry because God will restore us. He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. To do what's right, say what's right, do what's right. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. From the first part of the psalm, you might get the impression that Christianity is the easiest religion in the world, laying around in tall grass, drinking cool water, but the experienced saints know better, don't they? That's not the case. David makes that plain because he shows where the shepherd leads his sheep. As they continue the path of righteousness, they could soon find themselves in this wonderfully refreshing stream, could soon lead through the valley of the shadow of death. And we know this because Jesus' own life gives us a clear illustration of this. When he was living on earth, he didn't build himself a nice mansion with the angels fanning him, feeding him grapes, did he? No, of course not. Jesus spent many, many days on the road and many nights had no place to sleep. Jesus didn't have a house. Jesus didn't even have a church. But you see, Jesus knew what his mission was. But yes, he went through trials and tribulations, dealing with the Pharisees, the Sadducees. Many days he did go without even having a place to lay his head. And all of that was on the way to his eternal destiny, the cross. Many have been through this valley. Paul went through this valley. Moses went through this valley. And Jesus had to go through this valley so that he could pay for the sins of the world. And Jesus says to his followers, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. Or go down into the valley of the darkness with me. And I've got to tell you that in this valley, you will see that you will suffer ridicule, scorn. You will suffer pain, and you will suffer horrible heartache. But why do we have to go through this valley? Didn't Jesus die for our sins? Well, yes, he did. But the only way you can make a horse to drink is by making it thirsty. You all know the whole thing. You know, you can lead a horse to water but not make him drink. Well, see, if the horse isn't thirsty, you can take him to that stream. but he won't drink. But yet you know that there is a desert ahead. Water is going to be scarce. So you try to convince your horse, drink water. You don't know what's coming. Well, you see, same thing goes for us. God knows what's coming. He knows the valleys that we're going to go through. So we need to be prepared for those valleys, knowing there's going to be heartache and trouble ahead. But we need to have this feeling that we need to pray to God, because that's why we can visit the valley and every trial and tribulation there, because it's only in the valley that we will see some trouble, but we know that the trouble won't last forever. In the valley, we'll see heartache, but know that trouble, heartache, and pain at some point will cease. Then there's this path, path of righteousness. Jesus' righteousness leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, because it's only when we meet death that we will able to be with our Savior and Lord forever. That's why Paul said, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is the better by far. See, the only way to heaven is through the valley of the shadow of death. On the pathway of Christ's righteousness. Again, what gives us comfort on this pathway? The rod and the staff of God. The rod was used by a shepherd to fight off the wild animals, and the staff was used to help guide the sheep. Again, the Word of God, and the only Word of God, will fight off the demons. Only the staff of God will assure us that God is still protecting us through this veil of tears that we have. Only God's Word will guide us to Christ and His righteousness throughout our lives. And some might ask, well, how does God's mercy leadeth on this path? Well, the answer is, it's for His name's sake that we stay the course. We stay on that path because He is our merciful Lord and our gracious Savior. In verse 5, it says, He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. God prepares a feast for us to eat, even when the devil and his minions try to attack us and starve us. The Lord will provide a smorgasbord for us in the face of our enemies, even though, again, they try to starve us. Also, this feast is the Word of God. And it's through the Word of God that God anoints our head with oil and fills our cups to overflowing. Oil was used in the times of joy and celebration in the Old Testament. It smelled good. It felt good. Priests and kings were customarily anointed with oil. When the Jews had their celebrations and festivals, they pulled out the oil, wanting to be happy, to feel consecrated. So in the times like this, that signifies a certain assignment in ministry and to be sent out. He anoints my head with oil. And then in verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In other words, God has promised great things for us. He has promised us that He will take care of us. He has promised us that He will watch out for us. He has promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He promised that He would be our provider. He promises that he would love the giver and, I'm sorry, that he would be the lifter of our heads to comfort us. And he promises that he will be your comforter. For a little while, let's take a perhaps different look at the 23rd Psalm. When it says that the Lord is my shepherd, I know that that is relationship. When he says, I shall not want, that means supply. When he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, I know that's rest. When he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters, I know that's refreshment. He restoreth my soul, that's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, that's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil, that's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil, that's consecration. My cup runneth over, that's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, that's a blessing. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, that's security. And it says forever, that's eternity. It's a story I read some time back. I'll share with you now. Some years ago, at a family function, one of the family members was asked to recite a poem. Well, he was a very famous actor and quite a good speaker. So he said, I don't mind, and then asked if there were anything special that his family would like to hear. Nobody said a word, but after a moment's pause, an old preacher said, could you, sir, recite to us the 23rd Psalm? And a strange look passed over the young man's face. He paused for a moment and then said, I can and I will upon completion on one condition. And that is, after I have completed reciting it, will you, my friend, do the same? The old preacher said in surprise, but I am not an elocutionist like you. My speech is not as clear as yours. However you wish it, I will do so. Impressively, the young man began the psalm. His voice and an intonation were perfect. He held the family spellbound, and as he finished, a great burst of applause rang out from the crowd. Then, as the applause died down, the old preacher got to his feet and began the psalm. His voice was not so remarkable, his tone not good at all. And when he had finished, no sound of applause broke out, and there was silence in the house. But then one thing was noticed, that the family, everyone there was not a dry eye in the house, and everyone's head was bowed. The young man got up, said, his voice shaking, his head bowed as well. And he took his hand, put it on the shoulder of his uncle, and said to the crowd, I reached your eyes and I reached your ears, but my uncle reached your heart. He continued, the difference is that I know the 23rd Psalm. My uncle knows the shepherd. My prayer for you today is that you too will know our Lord and Savior and our shepherd. Amen.